Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church. This is the sermon for January 11th, 2026.
And while you're standing, remain standing for the reading of the gospel, and we'll be reading from Matthew, the third chapter, remembering that this is the word of God for the people of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. How many of you remember your baptism? Raise your hand. How many of you remember somebody telling you about your baptism? Explaining that to you or telling you about it. I was a different kind of baby. When I was born, I think I weighed between 3 and 4 pounds and lost a lot of that in the first week. I was what they called a preemie. And when I was born back in the late 60s, they had a, y'all didn't even bat an eye on that. Well, if you'll lie about that, what will he lie about? I'm telling you. But anyway, when I was born, being a preemie was not like today, where you have advantages of all sorts of technology and things. And so they came to the hospital wherever I was born in Augusta. And after I'd gotten out of the hospital, my grandparents on both sides, according to legend, came to see me. And my grandfather looked down into the crib or wherever I was, and he said, "Well, if he lives, he'll be a healthy boy." You know, that was kind of a blessing from my grandfather. But I remember my actual baptism, infant baptism, because of a lot of reasons in my family, one being the death of my brother. It was delayed. My sister's baptism was delayed. And so Mary was probably 3 and maybe a little older, and I was certainly about 6, maybe going on 7. And I remember the experience being this way. I was scared. Well, I had a reason to be. All the people surrounding me were big, my parents, grandparents. I guess there were sponsors. It was in a church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Centenary Methodist Church. Big church, big high steeple, big congregation. Maybe in those days they had 400 or 500 people in the service. Lots of people, lots of big people. And then the preacher comes down, and I did this intentionally today, wearing this big black robe. I mean, he looked like something out of an AC/DC cover. You know, he was scary looking. That was for you, Bruce, by the way. He was scary looking. So, and then they had this thing, and then all of a sudden there were other children being baptized, and they were crying. They were babies, and so they were crying. So you had babies crying, big people, water being slung around, loud singing, lots of folks. And so I'm 6 years old, and I remember leaning over to my mother and saying, "Are you sure we want to do this today?" I was scared. Well, I'd forgotten how kids view church, by the way. We need to think about that sometimes. So I don't know if you remember yours or not. Hopefully, if you don't remember it directly, you remember somebody telling you about it or sharing it with you. But the baptism today in this story, I want to be very careful today, because I know we have people who grew up in various traditions, and some of you were baptized as adults after an experience in which you claimed your salvation and forgiveness of sins. Some of you were baptized, if you were like me, Methodist, you were baptized as a child, as an infant, and later on you were confirmed through the process of confirmation and you made a profession of faith for yourself. Some of you were baptized in deep water in a creek somewhere. Some of you were baptized in this very congregation and some pastor dipped his hand into some water and sprinkled it on your head. This is not today to talk about methods or depth of water or how we do it, or when we should do it. This is about what God thinks about us in baptism. That's it. It's very narrow. I want to be narrow because I want to be able to talk about these three ideas today. First of all, that baptism is not about what we understand about God and how deep our commitment is. It's what God understands about us and how deep God's love is. And we're going to talk a little bit, in fact, we're going to talk more than a little bit about sin and forgiveness of it today. So I want you to be thinking about your baptism a little bit and thinking about what that meant to you and how you responded to it and how your life has been different because of that. One of my all-time favorite movies is, and by the way, where is Jerry Wiley? He's hiding today. There you are, Jerry. Good to see you. Jerry and I, when we, if one of us dies before the other one, y'all please get some Western outfits on at the graveside and say we're having a good old-fashioned Lonesome Dove funeral today. That's what we're going to do. But one of my favorite people and actors is actor Robert Duvall, and he played in a movie years ago, in fact, before Lonesome Dove, called Tender Mercies. Anybody remember that movie? Great movie. He played an old washed-up country singer named Max Sledge, and he was down on his luck and drunk as a skunk, and he finds himself on the floor of one of these little, you know, semi-detached kind of little buildings that we might call a motel or a hotel along some highway in East Texas. And he finds himself on the floor with no money, an half-empty bottle of booze, kind of hung over. He wakes up and there's a younger sort of woman there, and she's sweeping the floor, and he goes to, and he says, where am I? And she tells him where she is, and he says, I ain't got no money to pay you. And he said, will you let me work for you? And she says, yes, I will. And so the movie is basically about Mac getting back on his feet. And in the process of falling in love with this young woman and her 10-year-old son named Sonny, Mac Sledge has a revival in his life. He consents to be baptized. And there's this great scene, and I'd recommend you go home, Google on YouTube or YouTube Tender Mercies and find the clip where he's being baptized. There's only one problem with that scene, and they should have asked a Methodist preacher or a Baptist preacher about it. It was a Baptist church, Toddy, but they were using the Cokesbury hymnal. I don't understand that. It doesn't work. I think it doesn't work. And so that they sang, I think, Love Lifted Me or something. And so they show Mac, Sonny, being baptized in the baptismal font. He goes under and everybody says, amen. And then Mac gets baptized. He takes off his cowboy hat and his stringy hair, and he gets baptized. And so, and everybody says an even louder amen for Mac, because I guess they knew his history. On the way home in their pickup truck, it's Mac's new wife, Sonny's mama, and Sonny in the middle, and Mac on the passenger side. And Sonny says, 10-year-old boy says, he says, well, we did it, Mac. We got baptized. He said, I don't feel any different. And then he looks in the rearview mirror and he says, do I look any different? Mac shakes his head. He said, we did it, Mac. We did it. We got baptized. And Rob Duvall, only so he can do it, says, yeah, we did. Baptism is three things in this passage, just in this passage. I know you're going to say, well, what about over here, Brother Ron, or what about over here? But in this passage, here's what we learn about. We learn three very important points. The first one is baptism is not so much about our understanding or our experience with God. It's about what God says about us in our baptism. Here's what he says to Jesus. You are my beloved child. Now, somebody can write a book on the theology of this and talk about, well, he's trying to encourage his son because he knows he's going to go through a lot, and he knows people are going to despise him and reject him, and they're going to hang him on a cross, and more about that later, by the way, in one of the points. And the second thing that I want to get across today is, and I don't know where and how you were baptized and when you were baptized and what your experience was and what your thought process or your spiritual place was, but it is not about depth of water. It is about the depth of God's love toward us, because the heavens are literally torn. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then thirdly, baptism is not about that experience in that moment. It is about the life you live after your baptism. Amen. Now, this is a very Methodist sermon. I want to be careful. Because that's who I am. That's who we are. We claim to be that as Global Methodists. Let me just say this. There's a word in there, and I want to emphasize this one word. There's a word in the passage where it says the heavens are opened. That's too kind a word. The word there in the Greek is the word used only one other place in the New Testament, and that's at the death of Jesus on the cross. And some of you scholars can tell me when it happened. When did it happen? What happened? What was torn? The veil to the what? To the Holy of Holies inside the temple in Jerusalem. And it says there that the veil was rent or torn from top to bottom, which meant now you could see everything that went on in terms of sacrifice. Oh, let me preach that. You could see everything that the priest was doing to provide for the forgiveness of sins. Now let me go further. Let me get wound up here, Gary. Let me preach this. This means that the word torn at his baptism is the same word. I don't think it's an accident. I think God's saying, when my son dies on the cross, the heavens are open and you can see everything. I'm being transparent when I say this is my beloved son. And in our baptism, God is opening up the heavens. And guess what? There's never again any need to have any secrets between you and God. And there is nothing to prohibit your access to God directly. Did you know that when you were baptized, the walls fell down, the veil was rent, heavens were open, and God is now looking down and He sees you just as you are, and He says, sinner and all, you're committing and obedient to baptism, so guess what? You're my beloved child. That's big. That's big because a lot of people don't, to use a term a lady told me, I had a lady in my church back in Georgia. I'm going to be careful with this because she still may be alive and being baptized in different places. She came to me by my first year at Lula, Georgia. I had been kind of told about her. Mr. Dorsey Miller, the principal at the elementary school, retired principal and really a great saint of God. He wrote my check every month, so he was really a saint of God. And people who do that are super saints because they handle that kind of stuff. And so Dorsey came to me and said, now there's this lady. And she said, she'd been coming here about 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we get student pastors that go to Emory and they are here a year or two. And every new preacher, she comes the first couple of weeks and says, I need to be baptized. Brother Ron, she's been baptized 5 times. Now, I was at Emory. I was a theologically sound and a Methodist, sound in my Methodist theology. You don't need multiple baptisms. You don't need to be baptized every time you get the notion. One baptism is enough. It's what it says in the scripture. That's all you need. And you need one commitment. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you need a greater dose of the Holy Spirit to be more fully sanctified, entirely sanctified. But you don't need to go through that again. So I set her down on the front pew and she said, and Dorsey said, Miss Miller and I are going to stay back here and just kind of watch. And so, sure enough, she came the second, third week. She said, Brother Ron, I need to be baptized again. I said, well, tell me about your baptism. He said, well, there was one number one, and she begins to go down them. And basically, every new preacher got the opportunity to baptize her. I said, using not a real name, I said, Betty, I said, you don't have to be. She said, yeah, but I don't feel right about my baptism. I said, how do you feel about God? Does He love you? Well, yes. John 3:16, she quoted. I said, did He die for your sins? Did He wash them and cleanse them away? Oh, yes, I believe that. Said, guess what? That hadn't changed. I think I bumfuzzled her. Y'all know what that word means? She left out the door and she was not crying and she was not happy. She was not sad. And Dorsey Miller said, you know, he said, Brother Ron, that's the smartest answer I've had anybody give her. She said, all the rest of them had just consented and baptized her to save trouble. Years later, I heard back from some of the folks in Lula, Georgia, and they said, you know, after you left, the next preacher came. She'd been baptized 11 times now. And I said, well, Dorsey, what do you think? She said, I don't think she's still happy because she said, the problem is not that she didn't need the baptism. She didn't hear the message in the baptism. You are my beloved child, son, daughter. single person, married person, old person, young person. I don't know whether I can say this with a straight face or not, but I sort of took it as a kind of a moral victory that I didn't, not that I held up to my theology, not that I didn't do it, but because so many times we miss the message in baptism. We miss the message that God is sending, that He's plainly saying it to Jesus and then plainly offering it to us, you see, because that's what happens. I think sometimes we think the baptism is about our experience. I was in West Virginia one long summer, 1972, after my freshman year at Belhaven. I went up there and I sold books for Southwestern. Anybody ever do that? If you did, God bless you. And you remember the college students that came and knocked on your door and said, I'm selling Bibles or Bible dictionaries or a little encyclopedia. I was me. I was up there in the heart of the coal country, southern West Virginia. I lived 6 weeks in one place and 4 weeks in one place and 2 weeks in one place. And I got arrested twice for not having a peddler's license. They could write a song about me. Instead of the Starkville City Jail, to be the Beckley City Jail, West Virginia. I was too tight to buy the peddler's license. Didn't have the money. But I'd move on and I'd sell books. And in fact, I went to this one neighborhood, a little coal community, and it was so small that basically everybody knew everybody. And I got to the town and the lady said, oh, you're the guy from over in Beckley that's selling all those books. We ain't got no money, she said. But one of the things we had there on Sundays, we met all those guys selling books. And there were a lot of guys from Belhaven and Mississippi College and Millsaps and Mississippi State. We were all up there from Mississippi selling books, the southern third of West Virginia. They were in a recession because the coal miners had shut down a strike and the strip miners were shut down. So nobody was working. They really didn't have any money. And so on Sundays, we'd meet and we'd have a worship service and we'd go. And so one Sunday, we went to the New River Gorge. Anybody know where that is up in West Virginia? We went, and it's about 1,300 feet from the bridge they built over it in the early 70s, and it was a new bridge. And that day we went, they were doing something called bungee jumping. Do y'all know what bungee jumping is? A friend named Dan, retired Presbyterian preacher. Dan later wrecked his car the last week of sales, and we had to deliver his books for him, and he still says thank you every time he gets on Facebook with me for that. But Dan says to me, he said, Ron, he says, we ought to do that. I said, Dan, do you know what they're doing? They're attaching a little flimsy piece of rope or something to their ankles, and they're jumping off something that is 1,300 feet to the rocks in the river below. He said, yeah, but think about the thrill of it. I said, you can have it. We were riding back to where we lived in Madison, West Virginia, a little coal miner shack, by the way. And Dan says, you know, he says, I got an idea. He said, when I get back, I'm going to start a church of people who have bungee jumped. And I said, what do you mean? He said, think about it. You come to church on Sunday morning, you walk in the door, and he said, everybody there has done it, had the very same experience you've had. And I said, well, what would that be? He said, they've jumped, they're fools. I said, you've been in a church full of fools. And he said, no. He said, they've all had the same experience. He said, when you sing the song about bungee jumping, they all know it. He said, when they get ready to do the prayers, they know what you're praying for. He said, it'd be a great idea. I said, Dan, they already got it. They've already got a church like that. He said, what is it called? I said, it's called the church. I said, everybody that walks in the door that's been baptized, they've had the same experience. Boy, I was a good theologian even back then. Because it's true. You say, wait a minute, some are immersed and some are sprinkled. Some, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about how and when and where in the depth of the water and how long our hair was or how short it was or whether we were a bad person who got all of a sudden converted or whether over years and years and years of parents loving us and telling us we were loved and that God loved us, we finally got it and heard that message. We all, once we're baptized, we hear God speak, you are my beloved child. Amen. Did you get that message in your baptism? I sort of think the lady back in Lula didn't get that. I wish she had. See, that's the whole point of it. The point of baptism is not to fulfill some rule. Jesus fulfills it for righteousness, for the sake of the gospel to be confirmed by the prophets in the Old Testament. He does it so we'll believe and we'll know when He tells us that we're loved, that we're loved. And so here's what he does even further. On the cross, the veil is rent and all forgiveness is opened up. And now you can see clearly what the high priest has been doing. He's sprinkling a little blood on the altar and he's offering that blood and he's saying the forgiveness of sins to all God's people. And that's what Jesus is doing in his baptism too. He said, I'm going to die one day, and when I do, everything will be open. All your sins will be forgiven. All of them will be washed away. I love that scene in Old Brother Out There when the little fellow runs out in the Yazoo River and he gets baptized, and he said, I've been baptized, and all my sins are washed away. And his buddy says, what about that robbery at the Piggly Wiggly? He says, and even that too has been washed away. Now, I'm not making a joke out of this. Here's what I'm telling you, that when Jesus is baptized and Jesus dies on the cross, those are two interconnected things, and they're connected tightly because there's this one word. Heaven is opened up. The veil is torn. All the old ideas about following rules and regulations and fulfilling some kind of law to be saved and having the do's and don'ts and the oughts that my grandmother told me about, all that doesn't matter. Here's what God's doing. I love you, and I'm willing to die for you, to forgive you. Behold, what manner of love is given to us that we should be called the children of what? God. That's what your baptism is, was, will be if you're not yet. If you're saying this is a promotion of baptism, then boy, you're pushing it hard. I don't want you to be like the lady in Lula to wait until you've had the right experience. I want you to understand that the moment you're baptized, it's another sign of God looking down on you and saying, everything's wide open between us. I love you. I forgive you. Come and be in relationship with me. Is that a good deal? I think it is. I'm so glad that John consented to baptize Jesus, not based on the John the Baptist model of baptism. By the way, do you know why John the Baptist was being baptized? Because those terrible Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem were coming down because they were hearing the gospel of repentance, and they needed to repent, and they still needed to repent. And they came down there, and they got washed away. The Jewish baptism was one of washings and continual washings, and they even had steps built down into the water so they could step in and out because they were so constantly needing it. They were like the lady at Lula. They got the rite and the ritual done, but they didn't get the message. And Jesus sometimes would tell his own disciples, do you not understand about forgiveness? Do you not understand about judging others? Do you not understand that when the heavens were opened that day at the river in Jordan, that God was speaking to me, he also was speaking to you? I hope that if you haven't been baptized, you'll say to me one day soon, gosh, Brother Ron, I need to do that, because I do believe that God loves me and that I am his beloved child, and I believe that he has a plan for my life and he wants to forgive me of my sins and he wants to provide for me the indwelling of his Holy Spirit so that I can live for him every single day. Max Ledge and Tender Mercies got it right. Yeah, we did. We get it right when we understand that baptism is not about water, depth of water, but the depth of love. We get it right when we understand that it's not about the experience we have in that moment. It's about how you will live out the life you've been baptized into. See, that's why, and I say that's why people talk about it. They know we go to the bungee jumping club at Mount Pleasant. They go to church out there. They've been baptized. They're part of that congregation. You know, that'll live like somebody loves them. That'll live like they're forgiven. That'll live like they've got the kind of love and the message of that love that they want to spread to others. They ought to live and be willing to forgive others because they have been forgiven. We forgive because he what? First forgave us. And folks, he has. He tore the heavens open. He tore the veil of the temple. He's telling us as clearly and as loudly as I said to the children as he can, I love you. I forgive you. I died so that that could happen. And I rose again so you know to have power to say it. Flannery O'Connor is one of my favorite writers. I didn't learn about her until I was probably out of college. And a buddy of mine, Methodist preacher buddy, said, hey, you need to read this story. It's called The River. It's about a lady named Miss Conan. She was a nanny, a housekeeper for a rich lady that lived in Georgia. And she took care of the rich lady's son because the rich lady really didn't care much to spend the time with him, and she was always sickly. And so one day, Mrs. Conan was her name. Mrs. Conan carried the little boy to her church service, and it was a riverside baptismal service, down by the riverside, as we sing. And she carried the little boy, and she walked him down to the river, and they were having people being baptized, and it was a Holy Ghost movement, I guess. People were being healed. People were being saved. And so Miss Conan held the boy up where he could see what was going on, and he mumbled down something to her, and she cried out to the preacher, said, this little boy's mama's sick. Can we pray for his mama? And somebody prayed for the mama, and the little boy then reamed down and whispered something in Miss Conan's ear. And she said to the preacher, said, preacher, the little boy says he hadn't been baptized. And the preacher says, would you like to be baptized? The little boy says, I would. They dunk him in that river, Redwater Creek in Georgia somewhere, and they dump him into water. And he comes out, and the preacher says to the little boy, I love this line, and I'm going to end with this line. He looks at the little boy. He said, son, he said, from now on, you'll be different. From now on, you'll be different. We can be washed in water without being cleansed by the blood. We can consent and say the right prayers and yet not believe in our heart that our sins have been forgiven and that God truly loves us. Amen? And that's why today, when we think about this day, which we call on the church calendar, the baptism of the Lord, it's not so much trying to get you to be rebaptized or be baptized for the first time. It's for whatever you are in life, wherever you spiritually are at this moment, that you need to hear the message. You need to get it loud and clear. God cleared open heaven. He cleared away the need for forgiveness in the temple, and he said, I love you. And I'm saying it loudly and clearly. And I want everybody that knows you to hear it. And I want everybody that you know to hear it for them. Son, you've been baptized and you'll be different. I'm not sure how long it took for that to take hold for me, but I remember when it began to take hold, and I remember thinking that very thought that preacher I was scared of that day and all those big people singing in that big church, there was a reason they wanted me to do that. They wanted me to be sure and start hearing that message. Ronnie, you're God's beloved son. It's not the depth of the water, it's the depth of God's love. It's not how I'm feeling in the moment. It's how God eternally feels about me and weeps when I don't hear the message that he loves me. And it's about how my life is changed knowing that. Where are you today? I want to be very honest with you. I don't preach this because I'm expecting a great flood of people to come and say, I want to be baptized. What I'd love for you to do is, as we sing today, is that there's a particular need in your life that you don't feel that God's love is getting through to you, and you want to hear that message and you want to respond to it. Then you may come and you may kneel with others who will come for various reasons. And if you're coming for any kind of healing, if you'll let us know, Marie or Sherry or one of the other folks will come and kneel and pray with you. We'll have somebody come and pray for Riley. We'll have somebody come and do that this morning. But I want to open this up because I don't want you to leave here thinking, well, I was baptized. Brother so-and-so did it back at camp meeting I remember when he did that. I hope one day they tell those little guy boys, you know, hey, Brother Ron baptized you at camp meeting. Well, I don't remember it. Well, guess what? We do. I hope that if there's somebody in your life right now that is not hearing the message of God's love, grace, forgiveness, washing away of sin, and sealing them for eternal life, I hope that you'll begin to tell them that. Out of your own knowledge of God's love, forgiveness, and grace. We're going to open up the altar as we sing just in a moment. And we're going to do that. And Barbara, if we need to play a little longer, I hate to be bad, but I'm going to be a little Baptist in this regard. We're going to play a little longer. We've got six more minutes, so we've got time. So think and pray, bow with me right now, and pray about where you are with God in terms of did you get the message? Did you hear it? Do you believe it? And if you don't and you need some help with that, come and pray. If you do and you want to just come and thank God for that, come and pray. And tell others. God spoke. He loves me. He died for me. He loves you and He died for you. Let's do that now. Let's prepare to come as we pray. Let's do silent prayer and then just to take 1 minute in silent prayer. And then in a minute, Toddie's going to introduce the closing hymn and the altar will be open for whatever need you have on your heart today. Pray with me now. As God has spoken to you today about where you are with Him, may the word that you heard be, "You're my beloved child." I opened up heaven to speak this to you, and I opened up the temple to you to know that you never need to do anything other than to hear my voice speak to you of my love and forgiveness for you. And may you go forth, and may you give that message to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's sing our benediction.
Thank you for joining us today at Mount Pleasant Methodist Church, Van Cleve, Mississippi. If you enjoyed our sermon today, please like, subscribe, and share with others.